You're listening to The Osiris Mounir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Hi, are all my luminaries, my looms. It is so much going on out there in the world, you know. Before we get started, let's give a shout out to our sponsor. Hey, senior real estate and probate specialist, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. He will take care of any of your needs with that little cute, adorable face. He's a very nice person and he knows real estate. So don't forget to call him, 818-571-1508. So today we were going to have a guest. We had some things happen. If any of you people out there understand the retrogrades, these are very normal things during a retro. So unfortunately, we are in a retrograde for the last minute cancellation. But I wanted to talk to you guys from a Buddhist perspective about war. I don't mean the Iranian war, any war. We just happen to be in a war right now with Iran. But I'm speaking in terms of Buddhist perspective on war in general. So, you know, right now, whenever there's war, I don't know how many of you people can handle this concept, but on a very broad perspective, the weather responds to the condition of the people within the environment, if you can handle that. So if the sun is out, if you notice, people are very bubbly. They're going to the beach. They're wearing beach clothes, warm. Everybody's having a good time. We're out drinking, hanging out, whatever we're doing. But when there are dark clouds and, you know, things like that, it changes the moods of the people in the environment, the mood of the people in the environment. So it can definitely change a mood. So if you can go with that concept, then you can handle the concept that war is a reflection of three poisons. So again, from a Buddhist perspective, the three poisons are greed, anger, and foolishness or ignorance. Okay. So within every human being, we do what we call a revolution. It's when the person, an individual, resolves to change, to grow, to expand themselves, to broaden their horizons, to broaden their perspective. These kind of things are a revolution within the person. So these are internal changes that may not reflect outside of the person right away, but they are taking place. So when as a Buddhist, we, like I said, sometimes in the show, we chant every day, twice a day. We have a set of prayers that are in a book called a sutra. We study what they call a gosho. It is a teaching from Nichiren Daishonin, who's the priest that founded this orthodox sect of Buddhism. So it's Siddhartha's Buddhism, but beyond that. So let me see if I can put it in the way. So anyway, there is a gosho called the Rishu Onkokuran. And the Rishu Onkokuran is how we can establish peace in the land by doing a human revolution. So when we chant every day by chanting, the act of chanting creates a certain kind of stirring, for lack of a way to explain it for you people that don't understand, don't have the concepts of Buddhism, the language of Buddhism. It's kind of a stirring of the person's inner world. So let's just say, I'll give an example. When we go through very dark periods in life, we often blame the environment. If I've learned nothing else in Buddhism in the over 45 years I'm doing it now, the environment has little to do with what's going on. And let me explain again from another perspective why. We are free will human beings. We're free will beings. We're not animals. Well, we have animalistic tendencies, but we're not animals. We do have free will, where animals do not have free will. We do. We're the only thing in the kingdom that can make its own decisions, do everything by free will. So until we get, I will say, even if we're under parental guidance or guidance of some persons in authority over our personal lives, we take on the characters, behavior of those people, whoever those people are in our environment. And then secondly, we not only do we take that on, we grow with those concepts and perspectives of those people around us who are in authority over us until we get to a certain age, and then we strike out on our own. Okay, if we ever strike out on our own, but most people want to go out on their own, go to college. Some people get married, but what, all the things that happen in life. So after we go out on our own, we start to form our own opinion of what life is, who we are in respect to our environment, who we are in respect to our friends, family, etc. As we form these opinions of ourselves, then we stimulate something in the environment simultaneously. And understand, the internal world is first. I don't care what you think things are. Everything starts on the inside of the person first. When you go to sleep at night, we're on the inside of ourselves. When we think, we don't know where thoughts come from, but all of a sudden there's a thought or a phrase or something in a mind. Okay. So hang in with me. I'm wanting to broaden and open, just try to open. Miyoho means to open, open perspective, open a broader way of thinking things. You couldn't possibly think, we couldn't possibly think with man being the kind of creature that will kill each other, that will, you know, murder its own kind, that we are developed enough to have a pure concept of what life is. We don't have it. If we did, things wouldn't look the way they looked. The concept of religion is man-made. It's a man-made concept. And yes, all of us have had things happen to us in life that are good things. We had things happen to us that are things that are not so pleasant that we had to experience. But in other philosophies, that is contributed to something outside of ourselves. Oh, this thing happened good because God made us do it, because God made it happen or whatever. Whereas, don't you think it's a lack of intelligence to some degree to think that you as a human being, we are thinking and making choices and decisions. So you're telling me you're not willing to give yourself any credit at all. Everything is some outside force. There's no, somebody had sciatica pain and they forced themselves to get up out of the bed. They forced them, had a talk with themselves, not themselves. Even if there was something to penetrate the person's specific mindset and say, okay, I'm going to make you get up. Some people do have a higher consciousness that they are in touch with. There are higher levels of our brain that we're not in touch with because we just aren't there. We're not operating in that level yet. But just like we discovered things 10 years ago that we didn't know 20, 30 years ago, we're going to also discover that religion, based on man's concept, has run its course. It doesn't serve the purpose it used to. Yeah, there are people that are going to hold on with their dear life to the old ways. They don't want to hear about anything but Jesus, the Lord, or whatever. And those people are some of those people, because some people are really good, kind people. It doesn't matter what they believe in. They're good, kind people. Doesn't matter if they're Buddhist, Christian, whatever. They're good, kind-hearted people. So they don't fit a concept. That's who they are as human beings. But then there are those that are out there starting wars, igniting rage, dealing in those three lower worlds of anger, greed, and stupidity, and foolishness or ignorance. And they have no respect for the laws of life. The laws of life are the sun shines. If it didn't shine, we wouldn't be here. It would be freezing cold. The moon comes out. Those are laws. We don't have anything to do with that. We can't control it. All we can do is make a time, form something around what's happening universally in the skies, in the heavens. Gravity is a law that no one, when no gravity exists until you go and try to jump off of a building or go up high and fall down, then that law is very real. Well, the law of cause and effect is a law. It is not a man-made principle. It's a law. Whether man understands it, whether man is alive or deceased, you know, it doesn't matter. It is a universal, multiversal principle law that permeates all of life itself, every nook and cranny of life. So going back to the concept of world peace, we believe that world peace starts within the individual, by the individual correcting themselves, being the best. You know, people want to say version, but what's a version? You know, you're going to be changing the rest of your life. Life changes from moment to moment. It doesn't mean that you're going to become any more educated than you already are. It doesn't mean necessarily you're going to not have the same habits you had 30 years ago. However, if we are practicing something that is pure and true, then it's going to provoke change. It can't help but do that. It can't help but do that. If someone's trying something like an exercise program, and the program promises in 10 weeks you're gonna notice a change, in 11 weeks you're gonna notice a change, or whatever you're gonna notice. And then you do the program, and in 10 weeks, 11 weeks, the person actually, everybody's like, oh, what are you doing? There's change. So it's actual proof. Not only are they saying that you can change and you can see it, everybody else can see it too. Well, Buddhism works like that, where if you become peaceful inside, that means the noise is gone. And it's one thing to talk these things. It's another thing to be able to practice them on a daily level and actually have them and implement them and integrate them into one's life, where they are part of your life. There's no more talking because they're a part of your life. It's like brushing your teeth every day. I get to chant every day. I don't even think about it. I've been doing it for over 45 years. And it creates a discipline. And it does create a sense of harmony and peace within the individual. So just think of how much better we could all serve each other if, rather than fight each other because of egos and because of whatever else, penis size, I don't know, you know, we could support each other. Just think of how much better things would be if Iran and the United States could work together, if the United States and China could actually work together. One could bring what one has to the other. See how that would work? But the problem is that one wants to control the other, wants to be greedy, wants to be ignorant of someone else's cause, of someone else's strain, or whatever is happening. And I don't know what the world might look like in order to get us to behave in that way. What we call Kozen Rufin world peace in Buddhism is a world that lives in harmony with the other. It's a harmonious world. It doesn't mean it's a perfect world. It means it's a harmonious world. Let me give you an example. So war is someone's anger magnified. So it starts with one person. I'm mad. I'm the head of the chief of the Ayatollah, or whoever I am, of a whole country, and I'm angry. So I'm going to infect my person right next to me and with that same condition, that same feeling, that same state of life, what we call the condition of anger. They're like 10 worlds and they're all operating at one time and they're all in these different states of being, because we change from moment to moment. So let's just say they're upset and they're going to infect the people around them with that same upset. And then those people are going to take it outside the door or wherever they are and infect all of those other people with the same mindset. So how can we spread that same thing, but in a peaceful way? How can we do that in a peaceful way? So the thing is that we cannot do those things or be those ways unless we change ourselves. I don't know anything about Trump, Obama, Michelle Obama happened to me because at the time I was a writer for the Culver City newspaper. We had to go on an assignment and she was here talking to the mayor at that time about veterans. And I'm a veteran, so I was invited to, it was very, very interesting. And I got to take photos of her and everything. But other than that encounter, I don't know anything about these people. Even when I encounter people over the phone or we meet people every day out in life, we're only seeing a certain portion of the person. We're seeing their presentation. We're seeing what they're presenting until we dig off a layer and find out, oh, wow, this person is not who they say they are. They're a liar. They're a cheater. They don't follow through. They don't, you know, if you have to, you have to kind of take what they say with a grain of salt. They may not be grounded. They may have a mental illness. Anything, billions of things could be going on behind the face, behind the situation, behind the circumstance. So back to when we go back out, we go out in the world, we have a certain perspective. Let's just say our parents were narrow-minded. Are very fixed in one set mindset. And they told us the whole world hates you because you're black. Everybody you meet is going to hate you because you're black. So you have to put on a tough skin. You have to make like things aren't the way they are. You have to do all that. Now, to some degree, as a person of color, that is true, but not the whole world. And as my example, as I started to look to myself more of being human, I started to attract less and less of people that cared about my color. That's just the truth. I'm telling you what I know it'd be true about the law of attraction and about how you think and how things go into the environment. But as long as I was thinking like that, those are the kind of people I met, people that were kind to me on the outside, but on the inside, they didn't really like me. You know, or they, it was something they found wrong with me, or I was quirky, or whatever weird thing that people find to judge. You know, that's another thing. You know, in Buddhism, there's no judgment like that. The only judgment we have is, are you happy? Are you happy as a human being? Can you wake up in the morning and look at yourself and have a life condition of happiness, whether your environment is dark or light? Can you have the same state of life if someone shoots your mother or father in front of you or your significant other and still keep a maintain a balanced, peaceful life condition? Can you do that? Most people cannot. And we'd be lying if we said we could. But after one commits to changing and doing a revolution inside, then it's easier to deal with. It's easier to, what do I want to say? It's easier to deal with the world at large and to understand that not everybody is required to think like us, be like us, at, you know, nothing. People are in perfect, their perfect right to be themselves and command the respect of people treating them in accord, you know. So again, in my, what is war really about? What is it really about other than expressing rage that I want to control you? I want to control you. Do you guys out there, I'm a huge Julia Roberts and Richard Gere fan, but the movie Pretty Woman, and he was telling, her, cause she was a prostitute, a woman of the streets, he was telling her about the people he was around. Said, oh, yeah. She said to him, oh, yeah. Now I see why you were out looking for me while you were out looking, because look at all the fake friends he had around him. And she also said to him, it's just a location. It's just a location. He found out she had red hair instead of a blonde. I mean, there were so many things to her that he found out after he stopped judging. And then after he, you know, karmically, something, circumstances pushed them together. So they were supposed to encounter each other and grow in different ways. He was able to grow from encountering her because she was an open, free spirit with nothing to hide, no shame. I mean, you know, in that world, in her time, you know, that was the lowest thing you could be, you know. But now it's not so much looked at like that anymore. And then she learned from him that you don't have to succumb to your circumstances. You can elevate and choose to elevate, or we can choose to elevate our lives at any time. They're all choices and all decisions. It's how we look at things, our perspective, how we deal with things. So like I was saying, if we are working on ourselves and ridding ourselves of, you know, our own lack of understandings, our own lacks of education, our own lack of intelligence, then we see a lot in the world that's very, very beautiful. Like, you know, I like this kind of stuff. I like, you know, looking at other people and seeing their differences and then seeing how we can work together. You know, I think that is so cool. And I'm a little bit upset sometimes, or not upset, I'll say disappointed is a better word, that the world is not broad enough in its thinking and that we've been led around by very narrow concepts and that our mindsets have been very narrowed. So let's go back to the kid. Let's just say maybe this kid's parents were Seventh-day Adventists, or they were some other thing, you know, some concept that barred these people from having certain experiences, barred them from enjoying soda, candy, or whatever the issue is. And these people grow up and out and get out of the house and find out, oh my gosh, I met someone and they actually eat candy and they drink soda. And I've never had candy or soda. I was prevented from having it for whatever reason. And now I'm in front of candy and soda. What am I going to do? Well, most people are going to try it because it's been barred. See? Because it's been said, oh, it's sugar. It's going to kill you. It's a whole lot of things that can kill you, including sugar. You know, it's a matter of balance in life. A whole lot of things can kill people besides eating sugar. And then the person discovers that, oh my gosh, my parents lied to me. They lied to me. Sugar, I won't die if I eat sugar. I may get sick if I eat too much, or I may gain weight if I eat too much. It may have certain effects on me. And yes, if I get really out of balance, I can die from eating sugar if I don't control how it affects my pancreas and my liver and my kidney and all the other internal organs that overdoing things can affect. So let's just think those kind of things happen. And that's just have that person get a little older and then get angry about what the parents have said. Well, what do you mean? You know, you don't, you know, you don't eat sugar, or, you know, you don't believe this way or that way. What do you mean by that? I don't believe what you believe. Well, so what? So what? So what if one person believes that there's a unicorn on the other side of the tree? The reality is going to be reality, whether people believe it or not. Because if you go over there by the tree and look and there's no unicorn, then what does that make that person that said they believed in that in the first place? A big old liar. So, you know, again, there are lots of ways that we can choose to grow and to learn without having to, inspire a war, to motivate a war. to do something. And sometimes I think that people have done things, that we do things without understanding the full impact of the decision until we made the decision. Then we have to figure out, oh, wow, that wasn't such a good decision. Because look at what the effects of the decision were. Look at the cause and effect of the situation, you know. And so a lot of us, I know I was, it took, you know, really, you guys, all the polish you see and all the, you know, the beauty and all of that you see, it's from my practice. And when I started, I was a little country bumpkin, never been anywhere. The Navy, which was still a buffer for me, you know, but at the same time, I had to go through a lot in the military to grow and to learn and to become this badass you see sitting up here now. So we've all been in those places. There's no judgment on where someone is in Buddhism. If Trump decided to chant, it would change him tremendously and everybody would see the change. Anybody that practices, not only you feel the change, everyone would see the change in the person. It would be beyond your normal religious experience. Oh, I believe in God and, you know, and everything's going wonderful until everything's not, you know. So that kind of thing, or, you know, the intellectual relationship we had, that we can intellectualize karma. You know, it's an intellectual experience until something really crazy, nutsy happens. And then, you know, in cases of people with money and prestige, the money can only shadow so much. It can only cover so much. But when things start hitting close to home, you know, I don't know of any way. I would rather have someone tell me that back in some part of the line of my lifeline, as a thread of a gene of a lineage, you know, that I did something to someone. I was greedy, or I did something to someone, and that's why I was eradicating this kind of karma in this lifetime. That makes more sense to me than someone out of all the people I meet and all the beautiful people I meet who are from various cultures, walks of life or whatever, like me. And then one person or two people don't like you. That does kind of put a light on maybe it was something that happened between these two energies. And this is the lifetime that they're confronting it, or they're, you know, eradicating the karma of it or whatever. So if you put that back again into war, let's just say those two countries have ill will towards each other. Maybe some things that needed to come out between those energies that nobody knows about. And, you know, the news is a good source, but we have to use common sense as well. Just because people look amicable and they're doing all right doesn't mean that everything is all hunky-dory. Like marriages, that is so weird in relationships in general, not just marriages, where the couple looks like everything is wonderful on the outside. This blows me away every time it happens, like Kanye and Kim Kardashian. Like these people have been married, they've been together in the public for years, and all of a sudden they can't stand each other. What the hell is all of that about? What is that about? It tells me either they didn't grow at the same rate, it was from the beginning, it was some fake stuff. One wants to hold the other one back because they're not growing as fast. They don't maybe know how to grow. They were different in the beginning and nobody paid any attention to the signs. But it is the weirdest thing to me how people can just like, oh, I'm so in love, I'm having your babies. You know, we're going to be married the rest of our life. We took the oath of acceptance, you know, with the minister, with the court, or whoever did perform the ceremony, the priest, or whoever did it, and we're going to be together. And then you get up one day and say, I can't stand this piece of, who is this I'm with? So can we most likely say that can we most likely say that the person is moving on their own free will and their own free consciousness, or they're being controlled by God or something else outside of themselves? Okay. And notice how God leaves quick. Things go back to hell quick, that hellish state of life and judgment when something doesn't go according to plan, the Will Smith slap. He was the cat's meow before that happened. Everybody was in love and he was a nice guy and blah, blah, blah. And as soon as he acted human and he got caught off guard for whatever reason, that's between him and my mother, that's between you and your Lord, whatever reason that he decided to take that action, look at what happened. Everything turned against him. And to me, when you are down on the ground, that's when you need your biggest support. You don't need people to kick you when you're down on the ground. Granted that it's a good lesson for him as well. I hope he learned the lesson in that. The life lesson, not even in the entertainment, but the life lesson, you know. Keep your personal stuff in your home, you know, and that, you know, whatever. But again, based on the outcome and the effect, I would say it wasn't the best decision. But at the same time, it's something that I hope, you know, the guy, poor man, isn't judged for the rest of life. He's 87 years old and people, you know, people still talking about, oh, how he slapped. You know, yeah, it's a historical thing, but at the same time, I would hope that people would grow beyond some of the mistakes that we've all made. Yeah, maybe I did something and it wasn't caught on the national TV, or you've done something out there that wasn't caught on national TV, but we still done things that we would be embarrassed about if somebody knew about them. So who's zooming and who's judging who? So again, if we were left with that kind of situation in everyday life, seeing that we are left with those kind of situations, again, Buddhism addresses war and as something that impedes harmony and impedes progress. Jeez, if we have so much time to be in a war, we could have just as much time, you know, helping each other figure out what we're going to do, you know, as the world changes and shifts the climate. You know, hey, what do you guys think we should do? I don't know. We've got this. You know, I don't know. What do you guys got? You know, instead of one thing trying to control the other. And in the future, it's not going to be, it's going to be impossible. No one is going to let people control them anymore now that we have the internet and all of these things. No one is going to do that. Even if it's going to be a knockdown drag out, eventually the women over there are going to rise up. Eventually people will rise up. And you would think that is history. We've watched history repeat itself time and time again, you know, that we would see that, but we still, our eyes are still turned outward. They're not turned inward. We don't really understand cause and effect. We may understand religion, but we don't understand the law of cause and effect. Because if we did, we would not be doing all of these things. We would not be doing, we would not be behaving this way. We wouldn't be fighting each other. And if we were fighting each other, it would be a fight towards, let's see who can help the most homeless people tomorrow. You know, let's see how many people can get fed in one day. You know, or things like that, that there's so many things that we could come together on and people just aren't doing it. And so I'm looking down at some notes because I wanted to. There's a Gosho called The Letter to the Ikigami Brothers, where the Ikigami Brothers, they were twins, but if they weren't, they were close in age. And their father was very traditional Japanese belief. You know, he wanted them to follow in the footsteps of the Kamakura government, and the government at the time, you know, was a government that wasn't very people-led. It was more hierarchy. You know, who's ever in office is the head of everything, and they get to make decisions for everybody. And that's why it didn't work. And that's why eventually those kind of governments fall, you know, just like Rome fell, so can the U.S. and any other country if it gets completely out of whack. But anyway, so they got into it with the father because they wanted to practice Buddhism. The father, there was another sect or something, I believe, that the father didn't want them to participate in because the Kamakura government, I think it was Shinto, one of those kind of Buddhisms. And I'm not talking about Zen either. Zen, in a way, Zen is, it can be a peaceful practice, but this is the problem we see with Zen. Zen only cares about the person themselves being at peace. We don't want to just be at peace. What good is it going to do me? I'm at peace and the neighbor is fighting with his friend or parents or whatever. That is silly. And it doesn't include everyone. It only includes the person practicing. Whether when we do chant Nam-myoho Renge-kyo and do the Buddhist practice, you're not only changing karma for yourself, you're also changing it for your family and friends. So I think it's 7 gen up and 7 gen back. We get to affect that those things with our sound and making emotion with our mouth and making the causes with our lives. You know, we get to affect those people and have their lives be successful and prosperous. Now, again, I will say to you, as I've said many times before, this is not an easy practice. You have to really want to polish. You have to really want to polish up. I mean, polish the ego up. You know, polish the person that dwells inside, not the one that presents itself out there in the environment that could be saying anything just because it's the coolest thing to say. I've heard people get on some of the celebrities and other people that do speeches, and they'll use words. Oh, those are the latest words to use, so let's use those words. And I'm like, if you only knew what you were saying, you might not be saying that. Or you may need to look in deeper as to what you're referring to. Because unlike the 3D world, in the universal perspective worlds and universes and multiverses, those things have meaning and they produce effect. They're not just something. Words in themselves produce effect. But certain words have certain tones, certain sounds, certain symbolisms, certain mannerisms, certain spells, certain things that they invoke. That's what a spell is. It's an invocation of somebody's desire, their wants, their needs. That's all it is. So if somebody calls themselves doing things like that to people, I feel bad for you. Because baby, when it comes back, it is not pretty. And most people can put it out, but when it, like my mama's saying, when you put it out, can you handle it when it comes back to you? You know, can you handle it? Because it's all good in games. And like they say, little kids playing with things you don't really understand, you know. So I've seen things like that. Or people just saying, oh, this is the hip thing to do, or this is the hip clothes to wear in these times, or whatever. Just dress the way that you feel most comfortable and looks best on you. That's the best way. Nothing ever really goes out of style anyway. You can always mention match things. You can find a coat from the 40s that will work now with a proper attire. So, you know, all of those different mindsets dwell within us every day. We think about all these things that I'm talking about. That's how our minds go from one thing to the other. And so when we focus on the condition of anger, then that's what produces war. It starts as a person being angry, a person. And then they affect other people, like I said. And those people infect other people. And then you have that movie called Rage, where those monkeys were infected with the condition of rage. They were actively infected because they were being caged and mistreated and all kinds of things were being done to them. And the monkeys like, no more, I'm not taking this. So they attacked. And the humans were like, oh no, you've got them caged up. And then one of them bit and it was spreading like wildfire. Well, those conditions spread the same way. Ignorance spreads. It's an infection. Anger is an infection. Hatred, they're all infections, like diseases that won't go away. unless the person that has them cures themselves. They don't go away. And if you've ever been around somebody that's infected with anger or ignorance or anything, it is not pretty. It's ugly. You can feel it and smell it around them. You know, like people that don't smell good, you can smell. It has nothing to do maybe with their body odor. It's their life, how their life smells. Like not pleasant to be around, or, you know, not warm or inviting. It's just everything is inside of the person is at war. The person's at war inside of themselves. I'm at war. I don't like this. I don't like that. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I made this. I should have done this. All those things. And as we take on those qualities, like the Ikigami brothers, who eventually got their father to see things their way. And you know what happened? The father saw so much change in them as people. Their behavior, their physical appearance. You know, I love that, you know, when you really get into practicing and chanting, that you take on the golden aura of the Buddha. You know, you take on the essence of the Buddha. You take on the condition of the Buddha. You know, and it's like you don't, you're not better than anyone. This is not God. This is not something better than everybody and bigger than everybody else. It's a state of being that's based on confidence and happiness and understanding that suffer what there is to suffer and enjoy what there is to enjoy in life. These are both aspects of life, you know, and we only enjoy bliss when we understand that these are all aspects of life. Nothing negative happens, lasts forever. It may last a while, but it's not going to last forever. Just like nothing positive may last forever. It may last a while, but eventually there's going to be a dark cloud. And it's our job to discern how do you make use of that cloud. So in the case of the Ikigami brothers, they went up against their dad because they felt that what they believed in was right and it was a better way to do things. Like somebody said, look, we don't need to get rid of the horse and buggy. The car is a better way to get around, don't you think? Oh, everybody was mad when the car first came out. What do you mean? Horse and buggy, that's the only thing we know. That's the only thing you know. It doesn't mean that's the only thing out there. So with respect to war, it's a useless and senseless act. And unfortunately, we are still so undeveloped as a species and so unintelligent as a species that we, it's like animals. We can't think of anything to do but to fight each other. Like that's going to do something. And then after we're dead and gone, what else is going to happen? The people that we killed after that reign is over, what are we going to do then? So, you know, I would think hopefully in the future that we can be inspired to choose leaders that are their leaders. They look for the good of all. And even in their primordial or primal decisions, it involves everyone. They're thinking of everyone as a leader should. And no, you can't, not going to satisfy everybody, but a majority of decisions should be based on the needs of the people, you know, not the leader, the needs of the people. And the leader should discern, can then discern if those needs are something that are reasonable or something that needs to be rethought about and, you know, thinking in that manner. But the Ikigami brothers, they finally got their father to become a Buddhist and they were all much happier because although our lives aren't perfect, we get so many other things in such many more mystical ways that most people don't, you know. And then there's the youthful aspect of it. There's the fact that you have to breathe. And talking about yoga, you don't have to do face yoga. Try chanting for a whole day. You're exercising 108 muscles in the face because you're doing all these intonations and the words are characters. They are not words. They are characters. So when we invoke them, they come to life. Invoking. That's what an invocation is. It's an invocation to wake something up, to wake a state of being up, to wake up a life condition or state of being. So, you know, I hope that we can get through this war quickly and any other war that's brewing that we may or may not know about. And I was in the Vietnam era war era, and I'm telling you, it's ugly to see your family come back and their legs are gone, or, you know, see people crying because they have to wait to get their family's bodies back because they can't find them, all the pieces of land. Come on, you guys, really? Really? And I bet if a war happens over here, it will take it more seriously. And maybe that's the kind of lesson we might need, since we don't, you know, we don't want to pay attention. Like, it's very serious. War is something we should never condone. You know, we should find every other way to get around having a war rather than have a war and senseless to lose lives that can never be replaced and to put things in place that may or may not last. That's all. I don't think we get it. But anyway, that's, you know, will we have a guest next week? I had planned on having someone today, but there was some retrograde experiences that came up, so we were unable to have them, but they were wonderful, and we will be having them on again soon. And for my luminaries out there, thank you so much. I want to thank Sam Hassan, LA Talk Radio, for always letting me bring the shine to the show, and also for being there for me, just a wonderful person for those of us in radio and talk radio to have as an ally. Very, very kind and good-hearted person. We need more of those kind of people. And for those out there, my looms, my luminaries, I loke you. I love you from the bottom of my heart. The way you are, you fight for truth, honesty, and the good. Let's have some peace every day. And I like you for standing up for yourself and looking at yourself in the mirror and wanting to do better. No matter how best we are, we can always do better. I thank you for that. Don't forget about me, Osiris_Munir_ the painter on IG. Just Google my name, Osiris Munir. I'm all over the place, everywhere at the same time. And thank you so much for your likes, your shares, your suggestions to people to watch the show. We dive deep into some subjects here. This is not some shallow little kiddie toy show that we're going to laugh and giggle about everything. We talk about some very serious topics here. So if you lived a while, you may want to tune in and check out what we talk about. You know, and some of the guests we have, they have lived lives and have a lot to say and a lot to offer to the world out there. Meanwhile, I will see you next week. It's been my great pleasure. And bye-bye. See you next week. Mwah!
You're listening to The Osiris Munir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.